Burr. Well, it's always good to be welcome in your own church. Amen. Thank you for making me feel welcome. Tonight, we're trying something new to me, this streaming audio thing. I told an individual at work that I'd be preaching tonight, and they said, "Well, I wish I could come." And before my brain mouth began to come together in gear, I said, "We're on streaming audio. You can hear it on live on the internet." And the next person asked, and the next person asked. There's 4, 5, 6 folks supposed to be listening now that I work with. So this is odd, but hello, how you doing? I knew almost instantly when Brother Brian asked me to preach what I was going to preach tonight. And that rarely ever happens, Pastor. Usually, I prefer to find out about the time when I get here. I feel more at home. I feel more comfortable. But Brother Matt, I've known for 2 weeks, and I've wrestled with going this direction and that direction, and maybe this and maybe this, maybe this. But I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter how many folks are here or not. I really feel like somebody tonight needs to get something from God. We never know. You never know what tomorrow may hold. Tonight may be it for some folks. We just don't know. Brother Cruz, we may never take another breath to see tomorrow. But God knows all and has everything in His hands. This song come to me. I heard it this week. I was praying one night and this song came on. And I've plagued Brother Jacob with trying to learn it quickly. So many good songs have been sung tonight. And believe it or not, each song has led closer and closer to what I feel like the Lord wants me to preach about tonight. It's brought us to this point, but I'm going to try and sing this song. If we mess up, we'll go on, and we'll sing it anyways, all right? So if you know it, sing it with me. If not, maybe we could learn it. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Jacob. Arms stretched out wide, barely hanging on to life, left to suffer all alone. Came for all mankind to bridge the great divide, somehow ended up alone because of all the blood and tears you shed. I will never know that kind of loneliness. Your spirit never leaves me, even when I'm hurting. I don't have to bear that burden on my own. You carried all the pain and buried all the shame, and you made that rugged tree your righteous throne. Because of you, I'll never walk alone. Your spirit never leaves me, even when I'm hurting. I don't have to bear these burdens on my own. You carried all the pain and buried all the shame, and you made that rugged tree your righteous throne. And because of you, I'll never walk alone. You came here as a man, and I know you understand what it's like to walk these roads. my problems don't compare to the crown you had to wear, but still you take them as your own. Because of all the blood and tears you shed, I will never know that kind of loneliness, for your spirit never leaves me, even when I'm hurting.
Hallelujah to God.
Oh, you carried all the pain and buried all shame, and you made that rugged tree your righteous throne. And because of you, I'll never walk alone. For your spirit never leaves me, even when I'm hurting. I don't have to bear that burden on my own. You carry all the pain and buried all the shame, and you made the rugged tree your righteous throne. Because of you, I'll never walk alone. Lord, because of you, I'll never walk alone. Hallelujah. Could you lift your hands and worship the Lord tonight? Let's just take a moment right now. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. So good to be here tonight, this youth rally night. Amen. Folks usually like it to be fast, right? This was your opportunity to respond. Tonight, young folks like it fast and motion. Is this my Jacob? Jacob, come on up here with me. Sit down. Brother Brian's helped me out here. I need to get an entourage together. And since everyone come in about 7:24, 7:20, somewhere in there, didn't have time to get around. The book of Genesis tonight, chapter number 32. I'll not hold you long as you amen loud and jump up and down and get excited. Amen. Amen. It's not too much to ask. Amen. Brother Cruz, if you was preaching, you'd want us to get in there, right? All right, you get in with me. Amen. And I won't preach long tonight. Amen. The quieter you get, the more I think you're paying attention. So I'll go longer. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 32, I want to read a very familiar story to us. If y'all would stand tonight for the reading of the Word, I believe they're going to put it up front here sometime. We'll just go ahead and start without them. Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 22. I want to break in on the middle of this chapter. Word of God says, "And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? He blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, was upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Verse number 24, the very first part of that, I'd like to go back and read it again. And Jacob was left alone. Yes. Amen. If the Lord would help me tonight, I'd like to preach on one word, alone. A-L-O-N-E, alone. Father, we thank you tonight for your grace that you've so allowed us to have. Thank you for this beautiful day that we've experienced. Thank you, Lord, for life that you've allowed us to experience in its fullest. But tonight as we come before you, we ask you, Lord, that you would bless your word. Lord, let it go forth, not all fall upon deaf ears, but that it would reach a young person, maybe a mother or father, an aunt or an uncle tonight. Somebody, Lord, maybe even a youth leader or a pastor would be encouraged by the word tonight. We ask you, Lord, that you would do it for us. It will never fail to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And all the young folks and those here tonight said, Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. We have everybody up front. Amen. A couple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All right. Jacob, sit still there a second. Those are your wives down there. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't everybody laugh. I've always heard if you laugh about it. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about being alone. The very word itself, alone, just gives you that feeling of being all alone. There have been days in my life where they've been so hectic, everything seemed like it come at me. Brother Matt, I felt like all the world was on my shoulders. I had everything, all the burdens of life, all the problems of life, and I just felt like, oh, if I could just be alone on an island and not listen to anybody, oh, how great that would be, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it just be great to escape and not worry about it? Ladies, you ought to just say amen anytime. I know sometimes my wife just gets the longing for that Calgon to take her away spirit, where the children are not yelling and screaming and I'm not asking for something. Just to be alone. Isn't that glorious feeling? Be alone till you're alone. And then when you're alone, then you wish you was with somebody. You know, there were POWs that have reported as being alone for years in solitary confinement. And some recalled this as being, and I'll quote one of them, out of all of the tortures and all of the punishments that I could have ever faced, being alone was the greatest. Being alone. The concept of solitary confinement is especially harsh and punitive. The threat of just being alone for extended periods of time has been one of the tools used by prisons all over this country and world just to assure good behavior would take place. But here tonight in our text, it was a totally different kind of alone. You see, because we're looking at a young man by the name of Jacob. His very name means deceiver or supplanter. Up until this point, Jacob had connived. It started out, he had cheated his brother out of his father's blessing. He lied to his father through deception to get that blessing. He had swindled his father-in-law out of cattle, always trying to reach to get more with less effort. That was Jacob. That's who you're looking at tonight. Does he sound familiar? You can stand up here next to me. That's all right. I don't care how old you are and how tall you are. It doesn't matter to me. I've learned to deal with it. Nothing's going to change. Only cowboy boots could help. And that's not just not going to happen. Jacob had a way about him. He could feed you goat meat and make you think it was venison. He could really put on a show. He pretended to be who he was, not in order to receive, in order to receive what he did not deserve. That was Jacob. There are folks all over this world tonight, maybe even under the sound of my voice, that you come to church, you pray, you know when to raise your hands, you know when to clap, you know when to shout, you know when to get excited, you can play it all out just so nobody will get on your back and so that you can live out your life the way you want to live it. That's exactly how Jacob lived. Whatever could please Jacob, that's what Jacob wanted. Whatever made Jacob get one more step higher on the ladder, that's what Jacob wanted in his life. But you see, there was something that was different about Jacob. It was God's plan to give Jacob the blessing, but Jacob went around it the wrong way. He tried to do it on his own. There was something inside of Jacob, and maybe I know James has the very same definition. You're doing good. Just hang in there, buddy. Amen. Jacob has the same definition as mine, supplanter or deceiver. But maybe there was some kind of connection between Jacob and I, because I'm the type of fella who likes to fix it myself. I don't want nobody to help me. I would rather pull my back out than to ask somebody to help me lift something, Brother Dale. That's the way I am. I don't know what it is. I would rather mow my lawn with a pair of scissors than admit to my neighbor I needed to borrow his lawnmower to mow my grass. That's just the way I am. Stubborn, silly, call it what you want, but that's the way I am. But Jacob had this thing inside of him that he wanted that blessing. He wanted and desired a good thing, but he went about it in the wrong way. You see, when you come to God and you desire good things from God, that's all well and great. And Brother Brian, it's great that you want a blessing from the Lord. It's great that you want to see God's hand rest upon your life. But you have to come to God the way God wants you to come. Amen. Y'all listen to me tonight. I won't preach long. I've just got to get this off my heart tonight. But when Jacob came to this point in his life, he was on his way back to claim the inheritance of the blessing that he was promised by his father. But there was something that went awry. You see, he sent out messengers. He said, I want you to tell my brother that I'm on my way. I want you to... You're telling me this, not me telling you. You're Jacob, remember? I want you to go tell him that I'm coming. And messengers went, and he sent out and said, I'm going to send him some gifts. I'm going to pour out blessings on him. I'm going to send out some appeasements. Because the last time that Jacob had met, had left with his brother said, I'm going to kill you. If I ever catch you, I'll take your life. And Jacob knew that, and 20 years had passed, and the hatred of Esau's heart was still there. And Jacob thought, well, I'll send him gifts. Sister Sarah, if Brother Brian was on your bad side, it was probably behoove him to send you something nice, wouldn't it? That was the same thought process in Jacob's mind. I've done my brother wrong, but now I've got cattle and I've got land. I've got donkeys. I've got camels. I'm wealthy. I'll send me money and that'll make everything all right. And I'll just go back and collect my blessing and it'll be all be good. But when the word came back from the messengers, they said, Jacob, we seen your brother. He's on his way. Oh yeah, and he's bringing 400 men with him. Now I don't know about you, but I'd probably take it the same way Jacob did. This didn't go very well. He's still mad. There's still something in his heart against me. I need to figure out something fast. You see, up until this point, the swindling and the gimmicks and the doing it his own way and doing it the way Jacob felt like had got him by. But now he was at a place where the gimmicks were on. The games were over. There was nothing left up his sleeve. The appeasements of wealth and things did not appease Esau, and he was in trouble. So the Bible said Jacob got his two wives. Get your two wives. Wait a minute, don't get all excited. And 11 sons. Y'all getting this picture yet? And he came, the Bible said, to a brook, Jabbok, this ford. Now you get back here, don't get all in front. And Jacob sent his two wives and his 11 children. Send them, man. That's what you're here for. Sent them across the brook. Go on up here and sit. Just go right up there and sit. Go right up here. I'm going to have to help Jacob out. I don't think he's getting this. Amen. He sent them all over. And he made up this thing in his mind. Well, I'm going to separate them into two companies with a lot of... Don't go nowhere. You ain't going. I'm going to separate them into two companies. Pace back and forth here like you're thinking. There you go. That's better. I'll send two companies over. Now, let me tell you about Jacob right here. I've never understood this passage of Scripture. I'll send my wives and my children over in two companies. And if Esau overtakes the first one. Now, I don't know what you got out of that, but if he decimates the first one, then I'm in trouble. He's not going to talk to me. Now, man, oh man, what kind of a husband would send his family to be decimated first? I'm talking to you here. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. And Jacob was left alone, verse 24 said. Right there at this place at Jabbok, he was left alone. He had decisions to make. There was something in Jacob's mind. There was something in his heart. There was a difference going on in Jacob right now. Because no matter what he had done to this point, it was not going to see him through tomorrow. He needed something different. The shouting was gone. The music was gone. The iPod was gone. The internet was gone. The cell phone was gone. Friends were gone. Family was gone. And Jacob was left alone. He had to come to God alone. Now let me just talk to you here. Sit down right there just a second, Jacob. Jabbok may not mean anything to you before now, but after you get through this message tonight, it should become one of the most important words in your spiritual vocabulary. Jabbok means a place of passing over, a place of pouring out. It was a place that Jacob had to get rid of Jacob in order to become who God wanted him to be. You see, we all have things in life that we get so caught up with and we get so busy with, and it's great that you've got a job and that you give 110% at that job. That's wonderful. I'm not knocking that. But when you come before God, you need to push the job to the side and come alone before the Almighty. Are you hearing me tonight? It's great that you have friends, and it's wonderful that a man that shows himself to be friendly has a bunch of friends and a bunch of family. But when you come to the house of God and you approach the throne of the Almighty, your friends and family need to be pushed aside, and you need to approach God alone. You hear me tonight? You see, there's a lot of things that we get caught up with throughout life, but we need to recognize that when we come before God, mama can't pray me through. Daddy can't pray me through. If I'm ever going to make it to the other side of glory, if I'm ever going to make it through to what God has for my life, I have got to come to God alone. Alone. You say, Brother Jamie, but that's such a miserable, horrible place to be, just to be alone. Let me tell you, when the high priest, we're in tabernacle right now on Wednesday night, but when the high priest went in before in the Holy of Holies, and he went in there before the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy Seat, one time a year, he did not go in with all the other Levites. He did not take in a youth pastor or an assistant or this one or that one. But Brother Hurst, when he walked around that veil and he went before that mercy seat, he went before God alone. You see, we get in church, and we come here, Jacob, come on. Amen. We get in the house of God, and the service gets to moving. You ever seen little kids, they come down to pray, bless their heart, they'll be praying away and all of a sudden they'll do this, trying to see what everybody else is doing. And I know that sounds funny, but Brother Brian, when you and I come before God, I can't come before God for you. I can't live for God, for Brother Matt Wilson, for Brother Cruz, for Brother Dale, for all you young folks. Amen, Sister McKelvey. I can't come to God for you. But when you come to the altar of prayer, you push everything aside. Family problems, issues of life, circumstances, heartaches, troubles, pains, irritation, aggravations, it doesn't matter what it is. When you come to that Jabbok in your life and you pour out your heart, you will have to do it all by yourself. Some of the greatest times in my life, have a seat for just a second, some of the greatest times of refreshing in my life were when I went out into those woods up at Bible College and I walked out in the middle of the dark and I was all by myself. And I just prayed however I felt like praying. I could cry, I could weep, I could laugh, I could jump up and down, I could run. It didn't matter what went on around me. It didn't matter any at all to me. Why? Because once I got inside of the presence of the Almighty, it didn't matter who saw me at that point. But the problem with this generation is we're just like Jacob. We're more concerned with everybody liking us and everybody wanting to be our friend and be like us, and all the while God's saying, just put it aside and come on, come alone. I wrote down one of the lines of that song those young Parker ladies were singing. It said, I wore my mask running from my past. That's exactly where Jacob was. Everything was coming down on him. Y'all ever been there? Where you felt like it was all just collapsing and no one cared and you were all by yourself and it didn't matter what you said, what you did, where you went, how you even acted at that point. It just felt like... I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's a Jabbok right here. This hasn't been a high swinging from the chandelier service, but God's been here since the beginning. This hasn't been one of the greatest messages you have ever heard, but God wants you to know, He wants you to pour your heart out to Him tonight. But if you come, and when you come, you'll come the way He wants you to. That's alone. Amen. I know good young men and good young women that were raised in pastors' homes and evangelist homes that tonight their lives are shipwrecked and ruined because they tried to live off of what mom and dad had preached and lived for years. But if they're ever going to make it in, they're going to have to come alone. Woo, are y'all getting this like I'm feeling it? Amen. Jacob was by himself. Come up here and kneel down. You see, I don't think you're stressed enough yet. Tomorrow you're going to lose your life. Amen.
You hearing me? Tomorrow, he could possibly lose his life. Now, I don't know how many of you feel right now, but if I knew tomorrow was it, there's not a devil in hell that could hold me from this altar. If I knew, Brother Philip Carr, that tomorrow was my last day on this earth, I'd live today as much as I could, better than what I've ever tried to for God. I do more. I don't know what more I do. I don't know. But I want you to know tonight could be tonight. Yes, yes. Jacob's wrestling here. I need a fella who's big enough. I got a big guy up here. Come on up. Come on up here. You might have to take that jacket off. Because when Jacob was... Go ahead, shed that jacket. I wasn't joking. You're going to be wrestling here in a second. Take it off or zip it up. Amen. There came somebody to him. And I don't know how it took place. I don't know if he startled him. And he jumped up and just snatched a hold of him. This is the only time you'll ever be allowed to wrestle in church. Ever. I didn't think I'd have to say that twice. You gave up. Keep going. Obviously, you've never read the story. Amen. All night long, they wrestled. This is pathetic. All night long. All night they wrestled. Jacob was wrestling for his life. You hearing me? Whether that was an epiphany or not, it's irrelevant right now. But the angel was wrestling to get Jacob, beat Jacob, and get Jacob out of Jacob so that he could bless him. You see, when we come, that's enough wrestling since you're already quit. Come on over and sit down. Jacob was wrestling for his life, but if we could come down tonight and roll back the curtains to the spiritual realm, I wonder how many folks are sitting right here in this sanctuary wrestling. Wrestling. Brother, I've been saved for years and wrestling. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and wrestling. I'm a minister and wrestling. I'm a minister and wrestling. And wrestling and wrestling and wrestling and wrestling. Because Jacob, come on up here. This is your only time you're ever going to be able to do this. Because Jacob didn't want to let go of Jacob. Yeah. Yeah. I'm fixing to close with this. We wrestle not, the word says, against flesh and bone, but against principalities and powers. Things beyond what we actually can see going on. Now, do I believe in sniffle demons? Probably not. If you go out without a coat and it's cold, you get pneumonia. No, the devil didn't plague you with sickness. You just put a coat on next time. All right? But I want you to know, just as real as there's a heaven, there's a hell. There's a God, there's a devil. There are angels and there are demonic powers that are at work presently in this world to do one thing, destroy your life at a cost. They don't care that you're Brian McKelvey and that you're, what's your official title here? Over youth director, over the PA. Had to get it right. Don't want to mess up the titles. Amen. He doesn't care that you're youth director. He doesn't care that in 3 months you're going to be over Southern Ohio Youth Camp. If he can get a hold of Brian McKelvey, he's going to. He doesn't care. Is it all right, Brother Hurst? He doesn't care that you're pastor of Union Road. 20 years. He doesn't care if he can get a hold of Pastor Clifford Hurst. He's going to get a hold of him. He doesn't care how many years you've been saved, how few years you've been saved. Brother Dale, he does not care how many years you lived for God in the military. If he can get a hold of you, he's going to get a hold of you. You know why? The bigger the targets, the bigger the targets. When it affects them, it starts to affect everybody. Young folks especially, tender. Well, if Brother Hurst is such a great man, Brother Brian and Brother Matt and Sister Wilson, Jess, you know what I meant. If they can't live it, then I don't have a chance. I want you to know something tonight. Alone is how you'll come before God on Judgment Day. And when those screens begin to play your life, whether they're like this or they just read it off, your life will become an open book. And you'll stand before God and you can say all you want. Well, if they had just sung it one more time, if they'd invited me one more time, I didn't realize time was... It doesn't matter. When you stand before God, you'll stand alone. Jabbok was a place of pouring out. It was a place that Jacob had to get rid of Jacob. And once Jacob came and he poured out everything in him, the angel put on his heart, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name's Jacob." But he was really saying was he confessed. He admitted, "I'm a deceiver. I'm a cheater. I'm a supplanter. I connive. I manipulate to get my way." And once he opened his heart up, angel said, "Your name's no longer Jacob, but it's Israel. Your name's changing." He changed who he was. He changed how he walked. When he walked away, it was with a limp. He halted on his thigh. He changed everything about Jacob that night. And you know what happened? "Come here, Esau. Come on, Esau. You're a big man. Come on. You. I know you're not ruddy and got hair all over the place, but..." When Jacob, where'd Jacob go? He quit already, Jacob? You're never going to pray through, son, if you keep quitting that fast. When Jacob met Esau, probably in his heart, he might have thought, "Man, I'm hoping this goes well." Esau did what? I know that was tough. Come on, Jacob Hillen. Pray for us tonight. I'm through. I've delivered my heart. No, we didn't shout. But I'm telling you tonight, somebody needs to realize. Somebody needs to get serious about your walk with God. Quit playing games. Quit worrying about what she or he or they or them or that church does, and realize that you are pleased one person and one person only, and that's God. Brother Wilmoth, you and Sister Wilmoth have known me since I was skinny, little, and acted like Jocelyn. You remember any of that? I don't. God forgave me of all my sin. It's as far as the east is from the west. I don't even remember it. When I came to God, my mom and dad were saved. You've known them for a long time. But when I came to God, I had to come to God by myself. Mom taught me right, Dad taught me right, but when I came to God, I came alone. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there was folks all around me. Do you remember the night? I do. Jericho March, Erland Heights, back corner. I don't know how many folks were around me. They started shouting in front of me. They started shouting behind me. And I fell on my knees and said, "God, I'm not leaving until I get the Holy Ghost." And he filled me that night. I think I prayed a couple hours, several hours that night. But when I had folks all around me in a giant crowd, I still approached the throne of God alone. They prayed for me. They encouraged me. They spat upon me. They slapped me on the back and said, "Hold on, let go. Get in, get out, up, down." You know how it goes. But when I got the Holy Ghost, no one prayed for me. No one spoke in tongues for me. But alone I went before the throne, and He filled me. Hallelujah. Y'all getting this? Young folks, when you get a hold of God, it won't be necessarily because of a youth camp. You don't have to wait 3 months. You might not have that kind of time. It won't necessarily be because of a revival. I'm talking about meetings in the church and a special evangelist or the pastor even preaching it. No. It might not even be listening to a song. But you could get the Holy Ghost on island by yourself. You could pray through tonight with all these young folks and moms and dads and pastor and youth pastor and their wives, all of them right here around you. You could go to the throne of God alone tonight and get what you need to get. Amen. Brother David Sperry, one of the biggest things, and I'll close with this, that I struggled with in my ministry is I was always worried about what folks thought about what I preached. I guess that's kind of natural. You really, nobody wants to say, "I'm glad that's over with." No one wants to hear that. Not even Brother Hurst. He don't want to hear that. We like to be encouraged. We like to be lifted up. Come on, don't act so sanctified on me. You like it too. But Brother Cruz, I had to realize sometimes I preached all alone. Brother Hurst, you had to preach alone. Tonight, I felt just like that, alone. Because the devil doesn't want you to hear what I've been saying. And I have fought through hell tonight to tell you that you need to get serious with God. One sign of the coming of the Lord is earthquakes in diverse places. We don't even need to go through up-to-date news clips and reels. God is on the very cuff of coming for His church. And some of you tonight need to realize you got to have to step out and walk up here alone. Brother Jamie, that sounds so horrible to come alone. Would you all help me one last time? Come down here around me. Sounds so horrible to come down and pray all alone. But I want to tell you, as I close, God's alone is different than the devil's alone. When you get alone with God, and you're in the presence of the Almighty, you don't feel alone. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You're not alone. And when you come up here tonight and you began to pray, I want you to know that there are good godly saints that are here in this building that'll come in around you. Come on. And they'll pray for you. They'll lay hands on you. They'll pray with you all the way through to the baptism, through to your healing. Whatever it is that you need. You know why? Because they too had to come to God alone one time. And I don't know about you, but today before I came here, I left my wife and children and I came to church all alone. And I met with the Lord once again all alone. And I asked Him to please bless this service tonight.
could we stand all across the building, every head bowed, every eye closed. Saints of God praying, I wonder under the sound of my voice, you say, Brother Jamie, you're talking to me. I'm the one who needs to come before the throne tonight. I'm the one who needs to make that step. You just lift your hand up and say, it's me. God bless that hand. God bless it, that one and that one. Anyone else? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm the one who needs to come before the throne. And I've realized tonight, when I come to Jabbok and I pour myself out, I'm going to have to do it by myself. Saints of God, pray tonight. Alone in the presence of the Almighty is never alone. If you raise your hand, I want you to shout and come. No one can walk for you. No one can carry you here. You've got to come all alone. But once you get here, you're going to meet a God that loves you so much that He put together and orchestrated tonight just for you. Come on, slip out into that aisle and make that walk. Saints, let's come. Young folks, let's come. Let's come and realize I've got to empty myself out in order to allow God to bring me closer to Him and to be more like Him. I've got to rid myself of me in order to be more like Him.